In today's gospel, our Lord instructs us to treat one another according to the example of the Good Samaritan. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "In who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Most of us here understand that there are some phrases from the gospel that have made their way into everyday language. For example, we hear somebody say, "She's trying to go through the eye of the needle." We know what that means. Somebody's trying to do something that's impossible. And we know that that phrase comes from Jesus talking about a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. Or again, you hear somebody say, "He's a prodigal son," or "She's a prodigal daughter." Well, we know what that means. Somebody has alienated themselves from their family. And of course, it comes right from Jesus' story of the prodigal son. But today, there's a phrase in the gospel that probably is used even more commonly than those: Good Samaritan. We know what a Good Samaritan is. Good Samaritan is somebody who goes out of their way to help somebody else. Somebody who, even sacrificially, will do things for those in need. And of course, it comes right from today's gospel about the Good Samaritan who stops to help this poor beaten up man. And all of us know very well what the meaning of this parable is. Parable answers 2 questions for us, doesn't it? The first question is this: who is my neighbor? The answer is very clear. Anyone in need. Doesn't mean the person living next door to you, although it could be that person. Doesn't mean somebody in your family, although it could be. Anybody in need is your neighbor. Second question is this: what am I supposed to do for that person? And the answer is clear. Do everything you can to lift them out of their problem. Everything you can to lift them up and make them whole again. So, anybody is my neighbor, who's in need, and I have to do everything I can to help them. Very clear. I'd like to suggest to you today, though, that this parable, when we look at it even a little more closely, answers a third question for us. The third question is this: why? Why should I help somebody in need? And why should I put myself out to help them? Why? And that's probably the most important question of all, isn't it? Why? Especially when we look at the details of this parable and see what it is that Christ requires of us. Now, some of these details, we kind of just, it's part of the story. We don't really ask the question about them. But, for example, where do you think the Good Samaritan got the wine and the oil to cleanse the person's wounds? You think the Good Samaritan had kind of a first century medical kit in his saddlebag? Probably not. Where did he get the wine and the oil? Scripture scholars tell us it probably was his own food. Wine to oil to pour on bread, which they ate. Wine to drink. He used his own meal to clean the wounds. Where did he get the cloth to bind up, to bandage up the wounds? Where did he get that? You think he just happened to have some Band-Aids in his pocket? Probably not. Where did he get it? He tore up his own clothing, took his turban off, took off one of his garments, tore it up to bandage that person. And then look again a little more closely at why is this man lying on the side of the road beaten up to start with? You know, we're told that in those days, that road from Jericho down to Jerusalem was known as the Red Way, because we're notorious for muggings. You never traveled on that road by yourself. If you traveled on that road by yourself, you were inviting robbers to come out and mug you. It'd be like going into Central Park in New York in the middle of the night to the worst part of Central Park all by yourself. You know what's going to happen. So this man, traveling by himself down that road, was leaving himself open for being mugged. So in a sense, he's responsible for his own situation. Now, we use that phrase, don't we? You made your bed, you lie in it. What's that mean when we say that? Well, you're responsible for your own situation, so live with it. Well, yeah. But do we have any responsibility to help even a person like that? Finally, one other little point. We notice in the parable how the Jewish priest is coming down and he sees him and he goes by him and the Levite goes by him. Why? Because it was well known in those days that some of these groups of robbers would stage a situation. One of them would lie down on the road, make it look like they were beaten up, so hoping to get somebody to stop, and when they did, get down off their horse or whatever, then the rest of them would jump on him. So the priest and the Levite thought this was a setup. That's why they went by. But the Samaritan, knowing all that, knowing that there could be a setup, knowing that the person probably was responsible for their own plight, and using his own clothes and his own wine and his own oil to take care of him. You see, that's pretty sacrificial. That's what the Lord is saying we have to do for one another. Even that kind of situation. So obviously the question, why? Why should I go through all that? Why should I do all that? Becomes paramount, doesn't it? What's the answer to the question, why? Well, the fathers of the church, the first fathers of the church commenting on this, said this: you and I should look at all those characters in the story, and we should ask ourselves, who do I most associate with there? Who am I most like? And their answer was, you and I should recognize that we're the beaten up person on the side of the road. We're the one lying down there, beaten up by life, beaten up by our sinfulness or the sinfulness of other people, beaten up by our mistakes, beaten up by our failures, and beaten up ultimately by the knowledge that we're going to die. We're the ones lying there. And who stops for us? Christ. Christ comes and he stops for us. He forgives our sins. He gives us the strength to go on even in difficulty. And he shows us the way to live. And ultimately, he even overcomes our death. He gives us new life. He stops for us. That's why we have to stop for one another. That's why we stop for one another. Because he first stopped for us. There's a wonderful example of that that I conclude with this morning from the life of the Indian from India, statesman V.P. Menon, M-E-N-O-N. He was very instrumental in the establishment of the government of India when, right after the Second World War, when India was becoming a free country separate from Britain. And V.P. Menon was known to be personally very charitable, went out of his way to do good for those in need. And after he died, one of his daughters told the reason why. Right after the war was done and India was working through its independence, V.P. Menon lived in a little rural village way out in the sticks. He decided to come to Delhi, the capital of India, to try to find a job in the government. He took the train, came into Delhi, in the big, huge train station in the middle of the city, gets off the train, and the first thing that happens to him is he's robbed. Everything. He loses everything. Luggage, money, even his identity cards, all stolen. What's he going to do? He knows nobody in Delhi. And if he can't find some help, he's going to have to walk back to his village by himself in shame. So he looks around, and in desperation, he sees one of the Indian holy men, a Sikh. He goes up to the Sikh, and he tells him his story. And he asks the Sikh, he said, "Could you lend me 15 rupees? So the Sikh gives him the 15 rupees. And V.P. Menon said, "Please give me your address, and when I get established, I'll send the money back to you." And the holy man said, "No. From now on, anytime a stranger asks you for help, you help that stranger because you were helped by a stranger." That's why he was so charitable. And very beautifully, in many ways, when V.P. Menon was lying many years later on his deathbed in his home, a knock came on the door. One of the servants opened the door, and there was standing there a beggar. And the beggar asked, "Could somebody please help me to buy a pair of sandals? I need sandals for my feet." And the servant looked down, and sure enough, the feet were, you know, bloody, awful, from no sandals, no shoes. The servant went in to V.P. Menon, who now is on his deathbed, and tells him the story. "Somebody's here, no sandals, asking for help to buy a pair of sandals." V.P. Menon, from his deathbed, said to the servant, "Give him 15 rupees. Give him 15 rupees." His last conscious act, he repaid to a stranger what he, as a stranger, had been given. Because Christ stopped for you and me. Because he was our good Samaritan. That's why we must be good Samaritans to one another. He has saved us. So in turn, we must strive to save every other. He stopped for us. We stop for one another. May God bless you.